Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
After Jesus was baptized, he was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against the stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Just this past Saturday, an international organization called LARCH announced the results of an investigation that it had commissioned last year into its founder. His name was Jean Vanier, and he died in 2019. He was a Catholic priest, and he has been admired for years as a wise and holy man. But the investigation revealed that Vanier has been accused of manipulative sexual relationships and emotional abuse from 1970 until 2005. The relationships were described as emotionally abusive, characterized by significant imbalances of power, the report says. And it occurred in the context of spiritual direction. And not only that, but the report establishes that Vanier knew about ongoing emotional and sexual abuse that had been perpetrated by his mentor, Father Thomas Philippe, and that he enabled, or possibly he enabled, further abuse by remaining silent, by his continued relationship with Philippe, and by allowing Philippe access to the LARCH community for decades. And what makes it all the more horrifying is that LARCH, which is French for the ark, like Noah's Ark, it's a network of Christian communities specifically for people with intellectual disabilities, like the group homes that we go to care for people. Vanier has been considered a role model for countless people, including Henri Nouwen, in founding these communities for men and women who had no other place to fit in. In other words, LARCH existed to provide a safe and nurturing home for some of the most vulnerable people in our society. And add to that, that the context that these men, Vanier and Philippe, were entrusted with, the spiritual care and guidance of these people that they used and abused, and it just all becomes unbelievably tragic. A Jesuit priest, James Martin, wrote, "A devastating and lifelong tragedy for those who were abused, a time of heartbreak for LARCH, a grave disappointment for all who admired him and considered him a saint, as I once did." And maybe the most tragic thing of all is that these revelations come out in a world that is so super saturated with things just like that, is that many people won't even be surprised. The Roman Catholic Church has been much in the news for decades of suppressing accusations of abusive clergy of sweeping its dirt under the rug and turning a blind eye to the suffering of generations of victims. And the Catholic Church is hardly alone. Every place, everywhere that there are people in positions of power in churches, corporations, in the world of athletics and universities, anywhere and everywhere there are people of power, we're suddenly finding that there are people who are abusing that power. And where the abuse isn't uncovered, we find people who have been suffering in silence year after year. Only very recently are we beginning to see a reckoning with the coming of the Me Too movement. And just this week, there was something of a victory for the victims of abuse in the conviction of Harvey Weinstein. And no matter what you think of the Me Too movement, we should all be asking the question, why do these things happen? What brings a human being to a place where they feel justified in using and abusing a fellow creature? And it's not only rich, powerful, corrupt Hollywood people like Weinstein, it's men of God even, men whose lives are dedicated to serving and protecting those who are the most precious and the most beloved of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the answer to that is in the gospel passage today. In a word, it's a matter of temptation. Every person who has ever lived, every person sitting here in this room or standing here in my case, is tested and tried when we come face to face with our fears and our desires and our pride and our resentment and all those things that are within us. And not one of us can say that we have come through unscathed. There are those who find themselves in positions of power over others who are tempted in ways that maybe we can't even understand. My heart just breaks for men like Vanya who gave in to temptations in ways that hurt so many people so that it casts a shadow over the very real good that he did in his life. But all of us have given in time and time again to things that we knew were wrong, to things that hurt other people, to things that were very displeasing to God. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, as Paul wrote. And that's as true today as it ever was. David wrote, "The Lord looks down from heaven at us humans to see if there are any who are wise, if there are any who worship him, but they have all gone wrong, they are all equally bad. Not one of them does what is right, not a single one." We might fool ourselves into thinking that our little sins aren't so bad if we measure ourselves against those really big sinners we hear about in the news, but if we're honest, we know how much we need the grace and forgiveness of God day in and day out. And our one hope is in this, that Jesus knows what we're up against. The writer to the Hebrews says something that's almost unthinkable, that Jesus was tested in everything just as we are. And we know that Jesus was fully human as well as fully God. That meant he knew what it was to feel pain. He knew what it was like to get sick. He even knew what it was to die. But I think one of the hardest things for us to grasp is that Jesus experienced temptation, that he was tested as we are. He never gave in to sin, we know, but that doesn't mean that the testing was not terrible and painful for him, just as it is so often for us. We get to see in the gospel reading today one of the most private and personal experiences in the life of Christ, as he does battle with his very real, very human fears and needs and desires. The Holy Spirit leads Jesus out into the desert to have this time of testing. So we know that for those whole 40 days, no one else was there. There were no witnesses to Jesus' encounter with Satan. And that means that Jesus told the story of his testing in the desert to the disciples himself. He wanted them to understand what happened. He wanted them to know that just like us, he knew the pain of temptation. Because aren't we tempted to think that it must have been easy for Jesus? Of course, we give in to the temptation to lie about something or share a juicy little bit of gossip about our neighbor. We're only human. But Jesus, we think, would never feel any desire to do anything wrong. But again, the writer to the Hebrews tells us Jesus learned obedience through his suffering, as unthinkable as that is to us. God, though he was and is, he had truly emptied himself of his divine privilege and taken on our full humanity, born in the likeness of man who is subject to sin and death. And so today we read what Jesus remembered vividly about this time in the desert, when his physical body was weakened by long fasting, when the voice of the evil one spoke into his fears and his weariness and to desires that could belong only to him, because temptation is insidiously clever and it adapts itself to our most personal weaknesses and our vulnerabilities. It's important, I think, for us to really understand. Jesus himself wants us to understand that he was tempted. He didn't sit there calmly in the desert like one of those inscrutable yoga masters. He didn't just rattle off his proof text like a televangelist without breaking a sweat. He sweated and he struggled and he suffered the very real human pains of hunger and fear and doubt and desire, just as we do. And it was only out of that pain and that struggling that he won the battle, and that he chose not to give in to sin. The writer to the Hebrews said that amazing thing. Jesus, he says, by whom and for whom everything exists, was made perfect through suffering. And we wonder how that can even be, because we know Jesus was perfect from all eternity to all eternity. But perfect doesn't mean just morally pure or righteous. Perfect means whole. It means complete. Jesus, in emptying himself to be a true human being, just like you and me, had to suffer, had to fight temptation, had to feel the full range of human weakness in order to be fully and completely and perfectly the Son of God, who was also the Son of Mary. It boggles the mind, but it is true. And that is our glory, and it is our comfort, and it is our life. And it's all those things because when he fought and won that battle against temptation in the desert, he was laying down footprints for us. Just like a father walks through deep snow so that his son can walk behind him in his footsteps and not be overwhelmed. When we are tempted, we're not helpless and powerless. We're not alone. We have somebody to follow who's gone the whole way before us. One thing we can know for sure is that we're not evil because we're tempted. Our Lord himself was tempted in all things as we are, because we doubt, because we feel fear, because we desire something, because compromise really entices us. That doesn't mean that we have failed. It doesn't mean that we are evil. It just means that we are people. We're not defeated by being tempted. We aren't guilty because we're tempted. Being tempted means we're in the battle, just as our Lord was in the battle. But he showed us that we can have the victory. Temptation is not something we should ever seek. We're told to flee temptation. But when, not if, when we are tempted, we have the resources in Jesus Christ to fight it and the grace to overcome. And when we fail, as we will do sometimes, we have forgiveness and we have mercy from someone who understands our struggles. Jesus knows what it is to be tempted, and he will never condemn us. He's by our side in every battle, and he calls us to persevere. He calls us to fight the good fight, not as a superior who looks down at us and barks orders, but as our fellow soldier who goes before us. John wrote to the church, if we claim that we never give in to sin, we're calling God a liar. Anyone who says they have no sin is just fooling themselves, and there's no truth in them. That's bad news. But there's good news. There's the best news. He goes on, if we confess our sins to God, he will keep his promise and do what is right. He will forgive us our sins, and he will wash us clean from all our filth and all our failures. Every week, we do what we did this morning in a different place so that it confuses us. We come together every week, and we make our confession to God. And time again, we come to God in the privacy of our own hearts. Confess our failings. We admit our lost battles. We come to him with frustration. We come to him in shame. We come to him in discouragement. But confession is always a place of hope for us. Jesus told the story of his temptation in the desert so we can draw near to the throne of his grace in times of trouble with complete confidence, because we can be sure to be welcomed with understanding as well as mercy. And there we find grace to help us in our own battle against sin.